This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, good morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. A few minutes after 6 here in the studio on a Thursday morning, and it is absolutely gorgeous outside. What's it showing the temperature at up there right now?
67.
67 degrees on the 21st day of August. That's amazing. Going to be great for the kids at the going back to school this morning. And if you got to get out and exercise, man, this is a good morning to do it, says the dude who gets up at 3 a.m. every day.
It was, I say, chilly this morning.
I wouldn't go that far.
It was a little chilly.
I did feel bad for all of the people sleeping in the park over here next to the building this morning, I will say. Probably needed a blanket. I'm just sorry. They moved Homeless Park to the little green square of grass right next to our radio station down here. So once again, while Kara Spencer is busy looking for a new emergency management agency director, maybe they need to address that issue when you got people sleeping all over the place. I'm just saying. Anyway, we're glad you're with us. We got lots to get to this hour. We're going to talk to David Grasso coming up shortly, because overnight, the fine folks down in the great state of Texas have given us a gift, an opportunity to add 5 Republican seats down in the state of Texas, which is overwhelmingly red. And, has rejected Beto O'Rourke and the idiot left down there at every turn. And now they have an opportunity to do to vote. It's still up to the voters. There's no guarantee they're going to get 5 Republican seats out of this. But what it does do is take areas that were deep blue and add a little bit of a pink to that area is what it does. And this is what the left can't stand. They have gerrymandered their entire lives. They've gotten away with this for 100 years, and now they're belly aching because we've had some success in the state of Texas. Hopefully Missouri is next. I'm hoping that Governor Kehoe makes that part of the veto session, makes a special session to run concurrent with that, to consider that here in the state of Missouri. Because what we have now is gerrymandering, right? But there's no doubt about that. It's designed specifically to protect 2 districts that otherwise would not be as deep blue as they are, because we're in a bright red state in the state of Missouri. The congressional seats should reflect that, in my opinion. That would help. 1 more seat in Missouri, and maybe there are some other states out there who are going to be able to do the same thing. So we'll talk more about that with David Grasso coming up. We're going to get to a lot of different issues for you this morning, because we got Jim Talent still coming on. We're going to talk to Linda Ragsdale, a longtime conservative activist who is also now a member of the O'Fallon City Council. I've known Linda for a long time, and she's saying that there's a vote's been taken out there that is not right, and she wants the council to readdress it. They have another meeting coming up where if they can just change a vote or two in that council, they might be able to avoid what she says is a pretty big conflict of interest. So we're going to talk to her about that. We'll get Linda on here in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. A little bit later, we are going to get to Shannon Bream, and as always, we'll get to our friend Griff Jenkins as well. Jeff Flock is going to join us before the end of this hour. I got a question, Ethan.
Hopefully, I got an answer.
What's your favorite meal at Cracker Barrel?
Oh, that's been a while.
Like, if you go to Cracker Barrel, are you getting breakfast or are you dinner?
Yeah, usually if we go, it's breakfast.
Country fried steak, some biscuits and gravy.
Pancakes.
Yeah, pancakes. Sorry to revert back to food this morning. Well, I've got a good friend who works for Cracker Barrel in Ohio. And leave the place alone. Just leave it alone. But it sounds to me like their new CEO, maybe she was the former brand manager for Bud Light or something. I don't even know what the hell her name is, but she's decided she needs to change Cracker Barrel from what it's always been to something a little more woke. And I don't know how that's going to go over. I mean, I think, again, you have to know who your audience is. I don't think 20 and 30 somethings are flocking to Cracker Barrel to eat. I could be wrong about that, but I don't see them in the front porch on the rocking chairs. But some changes are being made there. For some odd reason, they're changing the logo. They're changing the way the store looks on the inside. That everything to move away from their core audience, which makes zero sense to me. They'll have Dylan Mulvaney sitting in a rocking chair on the front porch of Cracker Barrel soon. But Jeff Locke is covering that story this morning, and we're going to get him on here a little later at about 6:45, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, I want us to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Nor should I. But my point is, it doesn't just happen in places like D.C. So is the National Guard going to go to every 50 states?
I don't think that.
Yeah, Laura Coates, the libs at CNN, once again proving they just don't get it. Well, why are they bringing the National Guard in? Because a few people get yelled at in D.C. They don't get yelled at, Laura Coates. They get carjacked. They get shot. They get stabbed. They get robbed at gunpoint outside of Union Station in the nation's capital. Why should anybody have to put up with that? And if the crackdown in D.C. works, that puts a lot of pressure on these other big blue cities to examine their policies.
Temperatures expected to reach as high as 108 in the San Fernando Valley. These temperatures could be dangerous, especially for our most vulnerable residents, children, pets, people who work outside, unhoused Angelenos, and those with certain health conditions.
Well, I wouldn't want to be an unhoused Angeleno. I'm telling you what. How about that? It's not unhoused, Mayor Bass. It is homeless. You have a huge homeless population.
You can't vacation and your wife and kids in his own country? I'm getting ready to go to Lake George. Could be the most beautiful place on earth. People in upstate New York would have been glad to have his money. But what does he do? He goes to a Tony English Village, use J.D. Vance, and just kick the out of him every chance he gets.
Wow, James Carville, the raging Cajun, losing his mind once again as part of Operation Let Him Speak.
The FBI is preparing to send more full-time agents and intel to the St. Louis area. Missouri U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt says it's an effort that will help fight violent crime.
Yeah, that's...
St. Louis to hopefully crack down on these people who are terrorizing our communities, so help is on the way.
Yep, that's good news. Thank you, Senator Schmidt, for being part of that, or at least announcing it. I mean, I would assume that Kash Patel and Pam Bondi and... a bunch of other people, the Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, probably had a role in this. But see, you see part of the strategy here. You see a strategy, some strategery coming together, as George Bush might say. There's a little bit of strategery here. More law enforcement means less crime. At least it means more people being held accountable for their crimes. And then if you could just get the court system to lock them up and leave them there, then you don't have the same people offending over and over and over again. It's a problem in our juvenile system. It's a problem in our adult system. Nobody's held accountable for long enough for the crimes they commit, and a big part of that problem is in the judiciary. So good for Senator Schmidt there for commenting on that and for getting us some more help in the FBI office here in St. Louis. Help is on its way. A federal-state partnership to promote law and order in St. Louis. In fact, the first phone call to Senator Schmidt's office this morning should be from Kara Spencer saying, thank you. We need the help. I know the men and women of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department appreciate it, for sure. Because, what does that tell you? If somebody's arrested by the FBI, they're in the federal system. And they don't play in the federal system. So you can avoid some of the woke judges that we have to deal with locally who turn these criminals back out on the street in a very short period of time. By the way, tomorrow morning here on the show in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow is going to be huge, huge. We're going to have Senator Schmidt. Now, he does have a new book out. We're going to be talking to him about that. But, of course, crime and illegal immigration and all of these issues are going to come up in our interview tomorrow morning. So it'll be good to get Eric back on here again he used to join me in my Sunday evening show years ago in like 2010 when he was first in the Missouri Senate here in Missouri. So I've known him for a long time. And we're also going to get Catherine Hanaway, the new attorney general for the state of Missouri, effective early September. So she obviously is not in the office yet. Attorney General Andrew Bailey's still down there. But we are going to get Catherine Hanaway on here. We'll ask her some hard questions, like, was she going to be as aggressive as Andrew Bailey? Why did the glyphosate thing come up already? That's a good question for me. I don't understand that. I don't know why in her opening, I think it was a question from a reporter, but apparently her firm may have represented Bayer and the pharmaceutical or the industry in that issue, and she's very much in favor of Roundup and the stuff they use in Roundup and all that, and that has angered a lot of conservatives who were opposed to this. The bill died in the legislature, but having an attorney general in favor of it probably doesn't help. So we'll ask her about that, among other things, tomorrow morning. Right now, we're going to get to a quick break. We'll get to David Grasso when we come back, talk about the breaking news out of the state of Texas with redistricting.
Breaking tonight, Texas Republican legislators have just won their fight over redistricting. Just moments ago, the state House vote is now final. The bill aims to provide 5 additional congressional seats for the GOP.
Yep, Brett Baer there on Fox last night breaking that news. The Democrats could run, but ultimately they couldn't hide. We've got David Grasso with us. He's a political analyst. David, if I noticed on social media correctly, you described yourself as a Florida man living in Texas.
That's correct. I'm good here in Houston, where we're about to lose a congressional seat to Republicans, apparently, possibly 2 even.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. Did I see that Jasmine Crockett's district would be one of the ones that's affected by this?
I'm not quite sure, although she would definitely be one of the people that people would be looking most forward to losing because of her social media stardom. Speaking of social media.
Yeah, no kidding. So what's your take on the effort down there? Because, I mean, you can redraw lines there. You can change percentages. There's no guarantee what the voters are going to do when they go to the polls.
Yeah, and that's really lost in all of this argument, right? Like, this sets Republicans up better for possibly a maximum of 5 additional seats. But remember, Congress is really, really close in the split of the House of Representatives. Because of the great compromise, the House is based on population, and the Senate is always 2 per state. And really, in an era of such close margins, this partisan gerrymandering does do the best job possible to give Republicans a leg up.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that I think it was Governor Abbott mentioned the fact that at least 4 of these 5 districts, and you're down there on the ground, so you have a better idea than me, but at least 4 of these 5 districts would be heavily Hispanic districts. Like, the Hispanic vote is going to make a huge difference in these districts. And he claims that what has the left upset is that a lot of that Hispanic vote has gone to Republicans in recent years.
Well, that's correct. And I'm also Hispanic, so I can speak to this. You know, I'm Cuban American over here, but my spouse is Mexican American. And you've seen a huge shift to the right within Hispanic communities. But really, you know, like anything else, voter groups are fickle and things change. And it depends on the state of the economy. Ultimately, most people are not political animals like the 3 of us. Most people vote on very basic issues, you know, like safety, economic security, jobs, inflation, et cetera. So we have to really look at those numbers. But for now, at least, this sort of rigs the game in some ways unfairly for Republicans coming into the midterms.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're talking to David Grasso, who's a political analyst. He lives down there in Texas, and he's kind of watching what's going on. I heard a conversation the other day, and it's hard for me to judge. I didn't see the poll, but I heard a conversation the other day regarding the fact that legal immigrants to America who are Hispanic have overall supported President Trump's policies to get rid of criminal illegal aliens, to secure the border and all of that, but that those numbers have turned a little bit because of the argument that some of the people being swept up were not the worst criminal offenders, but people who were here illegally, had been working, but maybe had a minor offense, and they're getting caught up in all this.
Yeah, and that's absolutely correct. The problem with immigration, it's a lot like talking about healthcare, right? You have these North Stars. I think most people in the Hispanic community, myself included, would agree that deporting, you know, serious criminals should be a priority. But right now in the implementation of this mass deportation, people are getting caught up. You know, we have certain labor needs, as well as certain populations like Dreamers who have been here a long time and really don't have another country. So, you know, this is a mixed argument, right, with that's widely nuanced. And unfortunately, in politics today, it's not doesn't make for sexy TV to talk about nuance.
No.
And we do need an immigration overhaul, but no one really knows how to do that in today's hyper-partisan environment brought to you by gerrymandering, circle here.
What does that mean, though? I mean, the A word is like the third rail in politics these days. Nobody's going to talk about amnesty. Nobody wants to talk about amnesty. I did see somebody float a plan. I forget the name of the Republican congresswoman who floated a plan that
Maria Elvira Salazar.
That's
She's
it.
She's a Cuban American from South Florida.
Yeah, and she talked about something that would not be amnesty, she said up front, but it would be something else that would give people an ability to stay here, but not necessarily a path to citizenship.
And I think that would be fine at this point. I think that's been part of the problem, right, is that if there is a lack of appetite for amnesty, there's a huge difference between being here with zero paperwork and having a permit to work and enter and exit the country. I think that would give people dignity. Her project is called the Dignity Act, and I think that would be exactly it. Additionally, now with the border measures, which was the big stumbling block for Republicans before, right, because they didn't want to incentivize undocumented migration, I think this would possibly work.
Interesting. David Grasso, thank you for your time.
Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, interesting to get the perspective of somebody who's Cuban-American, and he said his spouse was Hispanic-American. The thing that sticks in the craw of most Republicans, I think, most conservatives, let me change that, what I statement that I made there, is that if you came here and broke the law to get in, you're going to have to go back and get in line before you become an American citizen. I think most people feel that way. If you're hardworking, you're paying taxes, you're doing all that stuff, some people might be willing to say, hey, all right, let's vet these people and decide who we want to stay and who we don't. Maybe that's ultimately where this goes. I don't know the answer to it. I'm just saying. Coming up, we're going to get to In Other News a little bit early with me and Sue, and then we're going to talk to our friend Jeff Flock after that. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
All right, getting to In Other News a little bit earlier than normal this morning. We're getting to my friend Jeff Flock coming up here in the next segment. But Sue's helping me out this morning. And Sue, I just got back from a Royal Caribbean cruise.
I noticed that. I saw the photos.
Yeah. And before we went, like when we were planning the cruise, the overwhelming sentiment was, whatever cruise line you pick, don't pick Carnival. I don't know how they're staying in business. I keep seeing all these viral videos. Now another one has broken out from Miami, Florida this week with this wild brawl that broke out
at
2 a.m. on the ship. Ugh. With people fighting over chicken tenders in one of the restaurants.
Are you kidding me?
And I can't even play the video because there's so many curse words flying around and people punching each other. And
oh, my God. Wait, what was the issue? Were they underdone?
Maybe there weren't enough of them.
Quantity.
It was 2 a.m. and you know, somebody called it an isolated incident. I'm sorry. I've seen way too many brawls on these Carnival ships. They've got to clean up their act.
Well, it's a Hoosier-tacious situation. That's what's happening.
Definitely.
We've got, I found a story today that says that Dolly Parton now has her own flavor of Coca-Cola, and it's called 40th Pop Fizz. And it's to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Dollywood, which turns 40 next year, which
kind
of blows my mind, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, speaking of Hoosiers, here are two fans on TikTok giving a very decisive review of her Coke.
She don't like it. I can tell she don't like it.
I have no idea what it tastes like. Like, it's got a good flavor. I just don't know what it tastes like. No, you don't like
it. It's not very good.
It tastes like,
Fruit Punch Coca-Cola.
Or like a Dreamsicle.
Dreamsicle Coca-Cola. I don't really like it.
I could go with Dreamsicle Coca-Cola. I love Dreamsicles.
See, I don't. Michael does. But a Fruit Punch Coca-Cola held no appeal to me either. But, to each his own.
Well, it's weird, though, because, of course, they're in Tennessee. Coca-Cola is just around the corner in Atlanta. So she's going to have an uphill battle selling something
true.
Like that, right?
Yes.
I know. So I thought you'd enjoy this story, Sue. How many times have you been stuck on an airplane on a tarmac? That happened
quite a few. Yes.
Remember they passed that passenger bill of rights a few years ago, and they have to compensate you if you have to spend a certain number of hours stuck in the plane on the tarmac. Well, this happened on a flight from St. Louis to Seattle.
Okay.
Because a bunch of people were stuck on this plane. This happened back on August 11th, and it was taking them so long to, and I guess they were told it was going to be an hour or something. I don't know what they were working on, that there happened to be a group of musicians on the plane. Dave Koz and his bandmates were on there. They've been traveling doing a Friends Summer Horns tour. So it just so happened they had carried on their instruments. And this broke out on the plane. Listen. The people filming this, you can see, and everybody in the background's clapping their hands like it just lifted the spirits of everybody who was trapped on that tarmac, who didn't know how long they were going to be there. And these guys are just going to town. Just
that's really cool.
Improvising. So Dave Koz is apparently a St. Louisan, and hats
off
to him and his bandmates for providing a little bit of free entertainment on board the plane.
I can guarantee there was one person that complained about that, though.
Oh, too loud.
There's always person on the plane to be like,
100% accurate. That is 100% accurate. In fact, the last time I flew, we sat on the tarmac. It's never reassuring. And they come over the intercom and say, somebody noticed a flap was out of place or blah, blah. So we're going to have to. And you're thinking, we almost took off. I mean, they're like, we're going to have to turn around now and get out of line to take off. And I'm thinking, was it just a passerby?
Yeah.
I mean, what happened? Well, somebody, you referenced Cincinnati, of course, Mark, and that made me think of this. Somebody took all of Johnny Fever DJ scenes from the WKRP in Cincinnati. So in other words, if you saw a scene where you just looked at Fever and he was coming out of a song and said something like, well, that was the Kinks and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they created a show based on all of those scenes and actually included the music in it.
Kidding.
Yeah, they added all the songs and turned it into a three-hour show.
Whoa.
So it's a little bit odd, but if you Google it, you can hear it. Like some of them, because you could tell that he actually wasn't coming out of music that was fake.
But
when you put it up next to the music, it sounds a little odd. But somebody did it. And if you're into that and WKRP, Google it, and you can hear a three-hour Johnny Fever song.
Howard Hessman, the actor, passed away in 2022. So
that's a shame.
I had to look that up. I remembered that he had passed away. But what a great chunk of my childhood. I grew up in just north of Cincinnati, and when you see that opening scene of WKRP with the radio towers on the side of the hill, my grandparents owned a home about three or four blocks from that tower. So whenever I see that scene, like, it just floods me with emotions because my grandparents, my aunts all grew up there. My dad didn't spend much time there. They moved there later. But still, I mean,
it's
my childhood was. It was right there.
And, we stayed in the building, I guess, where they shot it in downtown Cincinnati. So you can actually go and see the lobby of where they shot WKRP
yeah.
in Cincinnati. And, it was cool.
And Gary Sandy, the actor on
feathered
there.
Feathered hair.
Yeah. Gary Sandy grew up in Dayton, Ohio.
Huh.
And when they were making this show, I was in high school, and we had a career day. And for people who were interested in, you know, TV, radio, that sort of thing, and believe it or not,
no
I was even back then, I signed up for that one, and Gary Sandy was at
what?
My high school for that career day.
That is awesome.
It was he and Gordon Jump came down there. It was hilarious, and that show was huge then, so
wow.
it was fantastic.
Did
thank
you get
you
pictures?
For
That's
bringing
the
that
first?
Up. Of course not. Of
oh,
course. Now,
but
somebody at the school may have taken pictures. And there may be in my yearbook somewhere a picture of that, but I didn't.
Well, dig that up for me.
I should.
That would amuse me.
I will go back and look because that was pretty cool as I remember it. I don't know if anybody saw this or not. I love these kind of what better term is there? FAFO videos. There's a California high schooler who is seen picking a fight with a teacher at an assembly. And he smacks the teacher in the face, and they pull the kid out of the
what?
out of the stands, and he pushes the teacher again, and he and another teacher are taking this kid through the door to the gymnasium, like out into the hallway, and out of nowhere comes a security guard, who literally picks this kid up and body slams him, like
whoa.
I'm talking big league wrestling body slam. This kid, and everybody in the gym starts clapping like the kid must be a troublemaker.
Jeez.
And they slam him to the ground, and now there are people out there calling for the security guard to be disciplined.
Of
oh,
course.
Instead of the kid.
Right.
Of course.
Give me, I mean, my goodness. Oh, my God. All right.
Okay.
Sue, thanks for your help on this
of
today.
Of course.
I do appreciate that. We will do it again tomorrow with your approval.
Sure.
All right. Thank you. Coming up, we'll talk to our friend Jeff Flock. He's on the phone right now. He's with Fox, and of course, he's reporting on a lot of great stuff this morning. Not the least of which is the fact that Cracker Barrel is making one of my favorite one of my favorite places, man. My comfort food is making some big changes. We'll talk to Jeff coming up.
That physical guest experience. And we've spent the last year testing and concepting various levels of remodels.
Yeah, that's the new marketing manager for Cracker Barrel. Jeff Flock from Fox is covering that story this morning. Jeff, I do not want them messing with my comfort food. What are we doing here?
Yeah, old guys like you and me, Mark, you know, we don't want things to change, man. We want things to stay the same. So, yeah, I think they're getting some pushback there from our customers.
So this is they rolled out a new logo. I understand they've remodeled these stores a little bit. I actually have a buddy who works for Cracker Barrel as like an assistant general manager in the Cincinnati area somewhere. But I haven't been in the new store yet. What are they doing?
Well, you know, they were kind of dark in there. I will say, you know, I spent a lot of time on the road for stories, and that's my go-to place. But they were getting a little ratty, a little ragged. All those farm implements on the wall and all the old signs got a lot of dust on them. And so they're trying to brighten it up in there. And, I think actually it's not so bad, but it's change, and we don't like change. The logo too, you know, the old man sitting on the by the Cracker Barrel, that he's going away. But in fairness to the company, he was added after the company started back in 1969, and so they're kind of going back to the old logo that they sort of had before with just printing on it. But you know, time marches on, as they say.
Yeah, yeah. So they're not changing the menu. Am I? Is that right? Just
well. They're adding some things to the menu. I'm not sure. They haven't said what they're subtracting, if anything, but
okay.
They've got a couple real new items. Like, here's one, butter pecan French toast bake with vanilla custard soaked bread and cheesecake filling. Now, if you didn't have a heart problem to start with, I would say, I mean, this isn't health food. If you want tofu, you've gone to the wrong place. Cracker Barrel. but they may have turned it up a notch.
Did I understand, so, Jeff, that moving forward you'll be able to order beer at Cracker Barrel?
That I have not heard.
Okay, I thought I read that they were adding beer.
Well, they can't add it everywhere. You know, it's local laws that govern that. But I had not heard that they've tested. They've done a bunch of testing, though, because, you know, the sales have been flat or falling off at Cracker Barrel. And I think, you know, they want to try to do something to goose it a little bit. They're having a big event in New York City today called, I forget what the heck it's called now, but it's a launch party. Jordan Davis, the country singer, if you know that guy, is doing commercials for them. He'll be performing there. And they're kind of trying to broaden their base. You know, they want more customers if they can.
Sure.
But they haven't changed their, you know, Cracker Barrel. It's pretty country. So, and I don't think they're going to get away from that too far.
You know, we're a little gun-shy here in St. Louis. Our friends at Anheuser-Busch made a pretty big mistake with Dylan Mulvaney. And I think if there was a lesson to be learned from that, it's, updates are good, but you can't get away from – you have to be careful not to offend your core base of customers who – you know, I'm sure it's not the 20 and 30 somethings driving down the road that stop and say, hey, let's go to the Cracker Barrel for dinner.
In fairness, that is true. I'm often the youngest guy in there, and I'm in my 60s. So actually, it's good for me. I was doing Target yesterday with their new CEO. And they went through a similar thing where they did some stuff to turn people off.
Uh-huh.
I think this isn't a woke thing. We think maybe we need to dust off the old Coke sign on the wall and update our thing a little bit. But we don't like change. I mean, if you get to a certain age, you really like things as you had them.
Yeah. You need your biscuits and gravy and your engraved plaque that you buy in the store on the way out of Cracker Barrel.
Oh, those stores are great, aren't they? Oh, man, there is stuff in there that you will not see anywhere else. It's pretty interesting.
It's true. Jeff Flock, our guest from Fox News. We're going to let him go here in a minute, but one last question. You covered the Target thing yesterday. Is that a reflection of what some of these companies are doing to try to maybe back off of some of their woke policies?
Well, they, similar to Anheuser-Busch and the Bud Light thing, you know, they had the Pride merchandise, which had been targeted some at children, which that really kind of rankled people more than anything else. And so then they pulled back from that. And then the guys that were advocating, you know, there are significant part of the population that thinks that's a good idea, they got pissed off too.
Yeah.
So they succeeded in just ticking everybody off, and that's not really what you want to do when you're in business.
Nope. I think a lot of them have probably learned that lesson. Jeff, we appreciate your time today, and I hope you get a big old plate of ham and eggs at some point.
Oh, I'm going to try that new butter pecan skillet there and see if I can't see my doctor.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Mark.
Jeff, thank you. We'll talk soon. Jeff Flock from Fox News. He's right. There's nothing I love better than like their that big breakfast, that full breakfast plate you can get with the pancakes on the side, and you're already pretty stuffed by the time you finish the bacon and eggs and hash browns, and you've still got that stack of pancakes waiting for you there. There's just nothing better.
Doing this to us in the morning, huh?
I'm sorry, but I had to do that story because I'm anxious to talk to my friend Frank and see what he thinks about all the changes to Cracker Barrel. They, of course, like every other restaurant, they've struggled with just keeping employees. He's an assistant general manager, and there are times when he's back there on the line cooking because they can't get enough people to come to work. So they're all facing some of the same problems. All right, coming up next hour, our friend, former Senator Jim Talent, anxious to get his take on this redistricting argument. Is Missouri next? We'll get to Jim at about 7:20. Stay tuned.